Hey folks, Buck Risby here. I am on the line with me. I've got Danny Inney. Danny of, well, Firepole Marketing is his company, but Danny is the, I would say, really the foremost expert on how to create online courses. And that's kind of a bit misnomer because there's a lot more about what Danny does and what he's done and what he's accomplished. But for the sake of our discussion, we're going to talk about why building courses, why training can be such a powerful tool for your business when it comes to acquiring customers, building trust, and selling more products on the back end. Now, if you're listening to my voice, it's because you probably became a subscriber or became a customer because you were interested in building an online health business. So a lot of what we're going to discuss with Danny is going to be centered around that. But I've been able to catch Danny. Danny, how's it going, by the way, up in Canada where you are?
It is great. It's raining like. Like, it was beautiful all day, and then, like, 20 minutes ago, I tried to go for a walk, and it was, like, Noah's Ark outside all of a sudden. So we're here.
We'll take it. Well, thank you very much. We're actually on video together, but this is going to be an audio podcast. But I love being able to see folks when I'm talking to you, so thank you for coming on the video with me. So I've got a list of questions here about this whole notion of course building, online training and kind of where it's going. But do you mind sharing a little bit about your background? Because I know that you've not always had the success that you've had recently. You've built a seven figure plus business in the last year or so, but maybe even just a few years ago, you didn't have that level of success online. Do you mind sharing that with folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I like to tell people that I've been an entrepreneur for longer than my adult life. I quit school when I was 15 to start my first business.
Okay.
And bounced around a whole bunch of different startups. And the last big one kind of imploded in 2007, 2008 when the markets crashed.
Yep.
That left me with a big pile of debt. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do next? And I turned my attention to eventually, what became Firepole Marketing, leveraging my experience and entrepreneurial expertise to help people with their marketing and business strategy. And I built Firepole Marketing and I hit a nerve with some of the ideas that I was talking about. And that started at zero in January of 2011.
Okay.
So here we are, less than 5 years later, and it's a team of more than 25 people. We do multiple millions in revenue. We're serving a huge community of amazing entrepreneurs who are on a mission to do great things.
I believe I saw the statistics, but you have several thousand people that you have trained and helped build online courses. Is that right?
Not just online courses. Mm-hmm. We've had, I think, about 4,000 online entrepreneurs who are graduated by our courses, but some of those courses focus on other things.
You're running a serious institute there, my friend. That's amazing in such a short period of time. Now, as I recall, you sort of had this, you're a very, let me just say, I've met you, I've spent some time with you, you're a very sharp guy. But I think you might have told a story before where you said, my intellect might have gotten in the way of me being successful. So you mentioned, I think you put your first course that you kind of built and put out there,
mm-hmm.
was maybe the Taj Mahal, when all it needed to be was a little shack in the woods. Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Yeah, I really like that analogy, actually. And it's something that I see, well, I take heart in seeing a lot of experts making this mistake, even if you've got a very successful course, somewhere in the closet you've got one that was very unsuccessful. So I'm reassured to know I'm not the only one. But yeah, my first online course that I built was this magnum opus masterpiece of a class. Mm-hmm. It was 6 months long. I spent like literally thousands of hours building this thing. And it was a giant failure. Like over its lifetime, it didn't sell 50 copies.
Wow.
I think the dollars per hour on that thing were worse than anything. It was like 17 cents an hour or something. Worse than anything I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And actually, like because of that, I was very... I won't say turned off from courses, but once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah.
So I was very hesitant. And so when I hit on some strategies that were working very well and people started noticing, I was getting an enormous amount of unsolicited email, people asking me, how do you do this? Can you teach me?
Okay.
So very clearly there was an opportunity.
Right.
I was still afraid to do it. And so I was just trying to hedge my bets. And so what I did was I said, well, you know, I prepared the slides and outlines of what I wanted to talk about, okay. which was kind of the minimum that I felt I needed at the time. Today, I would do even less, honestly.
I come from software. Would you call this sort of the minimum viable product that people talk about in software, at MVP?
I do. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I call it the, in terms of a focus of what you want to create your course, I use the term minimum viable outcome.
Okay.
What's the minimum viable outcome that people will be happy to pay you for?
Mm-hmm.
And so I focused really on what is the minimum viable outcome. I, you know, very much did the minimum viable, what is the minimum viable that I need in order to deliver this?
Yes.
And I reached out to my audience, which was very small at the time, and I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this.
Right.
If you want, here's where you can sign up. And the reason I did that is I thought there was a good chance it was going to bomb. So I just wanted to hedge my bets.
You were totally hedging your bets. Yeah.
But to my great surprise, it sold out.
Okay.
It sold out. In fact, it sold out in 24 hours, which is, I mean, I'd never sold anything out before that.
How did that feel when that happened? I mean, you were taken by surprise, I take it.
I was taken by surprise, but it was kind of a mess because I said 50 spots,
okay.
and it sold out so fast that a lot of people didn't see the offer in time. They got really mad. And I was like, well, what do? I said 50 spots, and it's full, but like people are upset.
Right.
I ended up opening a bunch more spots, and it was a mess. And it's, you know, good problems to have.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just because I totally wasn't anticipating this.
Right. And now you're like, oh, crap, I got to deliver this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And which was fine because I was prepared and it was, you know, it was a four lesson thing. It wasn't this big elaborate thing, which is what a pilot should be.
Okay. Pilot. Now, I know you've used that term before. And, I think we're all familiar with TV pilots and things like that. But, you know, even pilots, they don't necessarily show the potential of something on the first show.
Well, that's
the thing. Interesting, right?
You're not going to get it right completely on the first try. You know, I did some research in kind of gearing up to explain these ideas.
Yeah.
And I looked at Seinfeld.
Okay.
And the first thing, this is just an aside, the first thing that jumped out to me, you know when the first episode of Seinfeld aired? It was 1989. I saw that and I was like, boy, do I feel old.
I do feel old because I remember 1989. Holy crap. Yeah.
So here's the funny thing about Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode aired in 1989. It was a single episode, the pilot.
Okay.
It wasn't great. Elaine wasn't even in the pilot. Right? And clearly it wasn't great because usually if you have a pilot and they decide to go ahead, they give you a season, right? You're going to produce a season.
Right.
The first season, or I should say the remainder of the first season of Seinfeld was four more episodes.
That's it.
Huh. Some producer saw this pilot and said, I'll give you four more episodes.
Okay.
Right? Clearly it wasn't that good.
Right.
But it was close enough. And that's the beauty of being a pilot. If you had spent, $4 million per episode on a 24-episode series and you were like,
and
it wasn't doing well, they'd pull the plug right away.
Right.
But it's like, all right, you know, I'll give you a few more episodes. There might be something here. We can iterate it to get it right. And that's the beauty of the piloting process. You don't have to get it right from the get-go. People are a lot more forgiving when they understand, yeah, this is a pilot. I mean, from the student's perspective, you tell them, right, this is a pilot. I'm only accepting, 50 or whatever the number of students is.
Right.
You're going to get in at a significant discount. You're going to be the first ones to get this material. You're going to get a lot more individual attention from me,
okay.
in exchange for which I want your feedback to make it better.
So this reminds me a little bit of, you know, why, for example, crowdfunding might work is, you know, people get involved, they're getting feedback, they feel like they're part of the process. Is that the same thing that happens with this pilot concept?
There's actually really interesting, because I saw this happen, right, with my pilot that did so well when my enormous, supposedly much better course failed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I repeated this process and I saw this pattern. The less time I spent building it, the more I involved the audience in that piloting process, the better it did with the pilot and with the launch afterwards.
Wow.
And I was puzzled. And so I started looking into the research. And there's very interesting research coming out of Harvard and Yale and Duke. It's behavioral psychology research.
Mm-hmm.
The team was led by Dan Ariely. He wrote Predictably Irrational and all these books.
Yep.
And so the phenomenon is called the IKEA effect. So what they did is they had participants come into the lab and build stuff. So they had different iterations. Maybe they're assembling origami paper like things,
right.
or they're building stuff out of Legos, or IKEA furniture, hence the IKEA effect.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd ask the participants to put a price tag. What do you think this is worth? and then they take the participants out of the room, bring a bunch of strangers into the room.
Okay.
So you've got the participants, the first group, these are the builders.
Yep.
And then you've got the second group, these are the evaluators. You ask them, what do you think this is worth?
Mm-hmm.
And without fail, the builders put a higher price tag. And here's where it gets really interesting. This is my favorite part.
Okay.
I'm not an expert IKEA builder. When I build IKEA furniture, you know, this screw is screwed in a little too tight, so the wood's a little bit cracked, and this thing's a little bit, you know, it's not perfect.
Sure.
And so that's the same thing with these, like, you know, first-time builders. They had them build something, put a price tag on it, then they brought in expert IKEA builders. You know, so it's perfect.
Okay.
And they had the same people who built the imperfect stuff mm-hmm. put a price tag on the perfectly built stuff.
Okay.
People will spend more for the imperfect furniture that they built themselves than for the perfect furniture built by an expert.
Wow.
Right? The more invested, the more you get to put into something, mm-hmm. the more you value it. And that's why this process is so powerful. That's the research behind it.
That's fascinating. I mean, it kind of reminds me of being a kid and building, now I'm dating myself, I used to build, you know, these electronic kits that I'd get from Radio Shack or putting together a model airplane or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Right, is rather than buying it like pre-made out of a box, as I had mm-hmm. to go and glue all the pieces together, even though the decal was kind of crooked.
Yep, it's a little off. It's like there's glue dripping, and yeah. It's like, yeah, this one's special. This is yours.
Sure, sure. Okay, I definitely get that. Okay, well, this kind of begs the question: do you have to be like the uber expert to be able to teach a topic? What's your take on that? Because I'm sure a lot of people have anxiety over teaching mm-hmm. something.
It's a really common fear and concern. And like I want to qualify my answer because there's a lot of people in the, you know, how to make money online world. They're like, you don't need to know anything and you don't need to have any skills. And so, that's not true.
Right.
Right. Of course, you need to be able to teach something. You need to have some expertise.
Or some research done on the topic or something like that.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. People usually, they sell their expertise very short. They don't give themselves credit for what they do know.
Right.
And the illustration I really like is that to the second grader, the fourth grader is an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who's going to be listening to this interview, I would think, is well past the fourth grade. Right? There are things that you know that right. you're good at, that you're competent at, that other people are not and would benefit from learning. So I'm not saying pretend you know things you don't.
Yes.
I'm not saying try to teach things you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying there are things that you do know that other people would want to learn.
Can you also bring in other experts or have them contribute mm-hmm. to the content so that if you're sort of the
Absolutely.
MC but not necessarily the expert?
Absolutely. It's a little, you have to work collaboratively with the expert
mm-hmm.
because it's, you know how you see these like teleseminars or telesummits where you've got a different expert every time and it's yeah. interesting,
right.
but it's not, there's not a curriculum.
Yeah.
Like you don't come away knowing how to do something at the end. It's just a collection of stuff.
Yes.
So you have to work with the expert to create an actual learning experience, which is not hard. You just mm-hmm. have to do it. You have to sit down with the expert and say, what's our minimum viable outcome, right?
You give them a framework to work with so that
exactly.
it's useful for exactly. The attendee. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, since a lot of folks are that are listening in are interested in health,
mm-hmm.
Is this something, you know, something I've been thinking about and what's been happening with online e-commerce is that e-commerce conversion rates have been dropping, cost per clicks, you know, paid media expenses, have ad mm-hmm. costs have been going up. You know, big brands are going in with both hands, kind of, you know, in some cases pushing people, especially we're going to head into the Christmas season, you know, and all the big brands mm-hmm. are going to take over. So it's becoming, you know, difficult for the little guy, you know, to sell a product maybe on the front end, whether it's a dietary supplement or a health information product. So is using education, is that do you see that as a way of, differentiation and kind of mm-hmm. overcoming these issues that we're seeing with front-end product sales?
So I would say, first of all, I don't think it's just getting harder for the little guy. I think it's getting harder for everyone.
Okay.
I just think the big guy has more reserves to stick through the tough times.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard for the big guys, too. I think what it comes down to is that markets are getting saturated.
Yep.
Customers are getting skeptical and jaded, and for good reason. We've talked about this in other conversations, on other interviews, like, It's a slimy industry,
yeah.
and it doesn't need to be. It's not. It's a shame that it is. Like it really smears the people who are doing good work, but people are skeptical, and the really kind of problematic upshot of that is that people are skeptical of the product, of the industry, of the offer. Meanwhile, the products themselves are fairly commoditized.
Yes.
Right? This supplement, that supplement. I mean, there are differences. We've talked about this, right? The difference in terms of the ingredients and the sourcing, and that it makes a difference, but most people don't know that.
Well, people need, whether it's a supplement or health information product, I kind of like what you talk about with the courses. It's not just throwing a course up on the wall, like you mentioned, I think Udemy and mm-hmm. You know, Lynda or places like that. You're actually providing the live, you know, mm-hmm. coaching aspect of it, feedback and community aspect of it that makes it much more valuable and interactive.
Yep.
And the baby's there.
I think my daughter is jumping into
that's okay.
The
we'll pause it, but that's the end.
Hang on, yeah.
Yeah, let's get her.
It's okay, Priya.
There she is.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's all this talking over here?
I think she's up, sweetie.
Aw.
Okay. So we should, yeah, let's just redo that bit.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I actually like to keep that in. That's very cool. So we're, I mean, the beauty of you and you're able to work from home and be with your family and build and run a, you know, a multi seven figure business. That's amazing. My hat's off to you. And that's the way I like to roll too. So thank you, Danny. So, you know, yeah, it's this whole notion that not just throwing, recording something, throwing it out there and not providing any ancillary feedback, training, and community, but by adding that, and I think the same thing goes for if you're selling a supplement or selling a health information mm-hmm. product, is you can add so much more value and create much more indoctrination and loyalty and mm-hmm. Shareability, if you will, through this, you know,
yeah. Course. Well, I talk about this in the, you know, in the content space, right? Because I talk a lot about education versus information. Mm-hmm. And information is kind of here's the information, which is kind of the minimum you need, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Education, in an educational relationship, the responsibility for an outcome doesn't lie just with the customer. It's shared between the customer and the seller, the student and the teacher. Mm-hmm. And I mean, any successful business, if you take that paradigm and say, I'm not just going to give them the thing and then they're on their own,
right.
You say, what else do they need from me in order to be successful? Right, from the perspective of a health company, mm-hmm. right? You're providing the supplements and that's great, but do people know how to use them? Do the people know how to integrate them into their lifestyle? Do they know what other lifestyle changes they need in order to achieve the results they want?
Right.
When you say that, I'm not just going to give you this thing and you're on your own, I'm going to work in partnership with you to help you achieve those outcomes, people are going to be, first of all, they appreciate it. You stand out in a market.
Yes.
You're super engaged and you command premium prices. People are willing to pay premium prices for education versus information, for something that is unique and special versus a commodity.
How much? How important do you think the community aspect of it is? That part of what you like to teach, and is that sort of incorporated in your process?
Oh, it's very much incorporated in our process. We're very much an education company.
Okay.
We can talk about my course if you want, but like, you know, every student in my program has a dedicated coach on my team.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't know anybody else who does that.
Do you facilitate communication with across students, student to student as well, or no? What do you like to do there?
We have a bunch of venues and forums for doing that. There are a lot of those opportunities.
Yeah.
I'm cautious of, I think it's very valuable. Community is incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
But
it takes,
I feel like,
more energy to support it though. You really have to maybe provide,
It does, but it also takes another layer. Like, I love community, and our student community is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of educators, they use community as an excuse for not providing support.
Instead of not, in addition to, okay.
Like, if you have a question, you need to ask other students, there's something wrong with that picture.
Right. I get it. I can definitely see that. And, you know, people really want to have access to the master, if you will, mm-hmm. and be able to get their questions answered and also have confidence instilled in them, I guess.
There's an important distinction there, mm-hmm. right? My screen is starting to turn orange because I use Flux for daytime. Hang on. There we go.
Does it help with your eyes? Does it help the...
What it does is it basically, when the sun sets, it changes the color scheme on the computer so it doesn't emit daylight light waves.
Okay.
So, like, it makes the computer look just like a Halloween-y kind of look.
Uh-huh.
But because the idea is, if you're staring at a screen that's emitting light that your brain perceives as being like sunlight, mm-hmm. it screws with your ability to go to sleep.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah. But anyway, tangents.
He's teaching me something. This is another course. So,
I feel like I was about to say something really important, and it's escaped my mind.
About the teacher and having access to the teacher.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, so this is really important because people get concerned. They're like, well, if I'm going to build a course, does that mean I need to be tethered to my computer and always answering questions?
Right.
And the answer is no. I don't work with my students individually in the vast majority of cases. I have coaches who I have hired and trained, mm-hmm. and they do it. And whether you need coaches or whether you can do it yourself in a limited way, the idea is not, you know, it's the whole work smart versus work hard.
Yes.
And you have to be careful about how you interpret that, right? Sometimes people interpret work smart but not hard to say that you don't need to work. You know, sometimes you also have to work hard.
Of course.
Entrepreneurs
are the hardest working people. You know,
exactly.
That's true.
Yeah. Exactly. But you want to be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you support students to achieve great results by providing the support that they need, sure, mm-hmm. but first by making your course such that it wouldn't require as much support.
Okay.
And that's part of the piloting process.
So you can work the kinks out and then start to add in coaches to help you
exactly.
scale.
Exactly. If you have a pilot with 10 students
right.
and you get 10 questions, five of them are the same and five of them are different,
mm-hmm.
you should fix it so those five that are the same don't need to get asked.
Makes sense.
And then you're reducing the amount of support that you needed, which means that it is cost effective for you to provide the needed support that leads to outcomes for everyone else, whether you're doing it yourself or you're empowering coaches. I mean, it also depends, you know, do you want 50 students or do you want 5,000? Like that's a whole different kind of business.
Depends on your goals on this.
Yeah.
Now, one idea I have is that courses could be used as a front end to a dietary supplement business. So
mm-hmm.
if you want to, and actually it could provide longevity with respect to running advertising on Facebook and Google and other platforms, because the mm-hmm. whole notion of selling education versus selling a weight loss supplement, very different, you know,
mm-hmm.
treatment that you receive from the networks. Okay. So let's say you have it's an educational program about your metabolism or some, you know, foods that you may be eating that are affecting your ability to succeed or what have you, something a little more innocuous than just lose 30 pounds in, you know, 30 mm-hmm. days. Is that, have you seen that being used as, a front end premise, if you will, whether it's mm-hmm. a low cost course to come in, get indoctrinated, become,
well, I've seen across the board. Yeah. Like, I've seen examples. They're actually, you know, the software world is a really good illustration of this, right?
Okay.
There are cases where I've seen people sell courses that cost $1,000 or $2,000 that either come bundled with software mm-hmm. or just lead into a software. Like, the company's a software company. They don't sell, they're not an education company.
Right.
It's just they sell the education on the front end, here, buy my course. I've also seen cheap or, here, buy my software.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen cheap or even free courses,
okay.
because again, their business is software. You can do the exact same thing in the supplement market, right?
Right.
You can say, sign up for my health, and I don't know the market, so I can't say specifically.
That's okay. Now have you think off the top of your head yeah. what the title should
like,
be.
But sign up for my fill in the blank health and wellness masterclass that costs $500, $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do, like, at that price, you can do really interesting things. You could afford to have a doctor on staff
yes.
that can answer questions.
Right.
Like, that becomes really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay that kind of money, and you're more than profitable on your front-end ad costs, and everyone who's in that program knows that you're the person to go to for the supplements, and, like, you've got, it's a lock.
Yes.
You could also have a course that is really good and that's free because you know that you're going to lead into the supplements.
So it's a lead generator. You're using a lead generation mechanism to bring mm-hmm. them into the course, deliver, build trust,
mm-hmm.
and then upsell them into a supplement.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it could go both ways. It's really cool when, like, I love the education business.
Yeah.
But it's really cool when you have another way of making money because it gives you a lot of options.
You know, what is the timeline? I know you, I've heard you talk about building courses and maybe even selling them in as little as 60 days. Is it possible to do short courses even faster than that? Or is that really the window of time that you need to give yourself, start to finish to be successful?
It depends a lot on the circumstances that people are in.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what's really, I think, important about good education is that it fits the needs of the student. So our program, the Course Builders Laboratory, it's not a one-size-fits-all, here's what everybody's going to do. We say, okay, you know, what kind of knowledge and expertise do you have? How much of an audience do you have to work with? Do you have a large audience, a small audience, no audience? Mm-hmm. And there are ways to make it work in all cases, but it's a different path.
Okay.
60 days is the time frame that anyone can build and sell a pilot. And we guarantee anyone who joins the program, if you put in the time, do the work, you're going to build and sell your pilot in 60 days, guaranteed.
Some people can do it faster. That's a lot of bravado there, Danny, to put up. That's very interesting. I don't see many people doing that, or anyone that I know doing that. So that's amazing.
I think there's a gap in the online education, quote unquote, education industry, mm-hmm. Where people don't stand behind their results.
Yeah.
They have the, you know, you have 30 days. If you don't like it, you can get your money back. And it's, you know, they're kind of hoping that you're going to forget to look. And I don't think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think when people make a promise, they should mean it. And so we mean it. You know, we have two guarantees on our program. We have our 30-day test drive.
Okay.
So you can sign up, do the lessons, fill in your homework, work with your coach for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, you'll get your money back. No questions asked.
You know, I just, before I came and joined you on this call, I was, I just got back from my personal trainer session.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, I'm having results. I've been working with him a little over a month. I'm having results. But I don't believe I would have those results if I didn't have him as my coach.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have some accountability, I show up, we get to the routine. He kicked my butt again today. I was sweating profusely. I haven't taken a shower yet, but I see that's very powerful that you have a coach there to be accountable, mm-hmm. get, you know, ask questions and, you know, you feel a connection with. So I see that as being a big driver for success.
It makes a huge difference because we get stuck so easily in analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some things that we want to achieve, they're achievable, but they're a little complex.
Yeah.
Right? Building a pilot, building a course, building a business, it's one of those things that's a little complex. And that doesn't mean you can't do it, but it means you're going to have questions. And when there's someone you can email who will answer them within 24 hours,
okay.
You can keep moving forward.
Do I have to be a tech whiz to pull this off? I mean, so,
nope.
You know, for me to build a course and deploy the course and put it online and sell it, you know, what's my level of, do I have to be the webmaster? Do I have to understand HTML or how difficult is this?
First of all, it's not difficult in general, but it comes in stages, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're ready to deploy your full course and enroll hundreds of students, yeah, you're probably going to want a membership site and a learning management system. And we teach people which tools to use and how to use them easily. And
okay.
You don't have to be good with technology. You just have to be willing to roll up your sleeves and work with us and we'll get you there.
So if you understand Word or Excel or something like that,
you'll be fine.
You can follow your steps?
Yeah,
okay.
But that's the full course.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need all that to sell a pilot.
Okay.
Right? For selling a pilot, that's a whole bunch of complexity that you really don't need. Like part of getting to pilot quickly is keep it as simple as possible. So people can often, and again, it depends on your circumstances a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but usually people can get to a pilot without needing to figure out any technology.
Okay.
I say get the pilot out there, make some money, get validation that you're on the right track. And once you've got students who like it, a curriculum that's working, money in the bank, mm-hmm. yeah, then you can figure out a little bit of technology.
Sure.
But like priorities, that comes later.
Well, fantastic. I want to say using information to, you know, either as a standalone business or to sell other products for the last 10 years or so very successfully. But I want to say I've been sort of, you know, it was all through trial and error, experimentation, mm-hmm. a lot of grief, you know, those kinds of things. So I never had someone to kind of just take me by the hand and walk me through the process and make it that much, you know, and I'm already, I want to go through your training because I think that I could really simplify my process to launch the next course and improve courses that I already have.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to use this as a, you know, put courses out quickly as a front end for our supplements. Because I'm, you know, I'm already, like I mentioned, conversion rates down,
mm-hmm.
costs going up, wanting longevity on places like Facebook when they don't want to have supplements sold, kind of, you know, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very excited about that. Do you mind giving us a thumbnail about what the course builder is, what they would expect. I mean, I'm sure
I'll
include
absolutely.
A link to it, but you're offering some free training. You have a webinar that they can just go through and get value from if they don't, whether they buy your course or not. Is that right?
We already did the webinars. The webinars are down, but we're doing the live stream.
Okay.
Yeah, we're doing the live stream on Saturday. That's going to be pretty awesome.
Will there be some training in the live stream, or is that just going to be
the live stream? It's not Q&A. It's I've got 8 different people who've built successful 7-figure course businesses.
Wow.
And every hour, a different one's coming on. I'm going to grill them about what they did, what they learned. It's like an enormous amount of content and insight.
Okay.
And
nothing
it's all
like
free,
getting a
no
case
strings.
Study and walking behind the scenes of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
I wanna point something out that you mentioned, and I think it's really important, right?
Okay.
You know, you've been doing this kind of by trial and error for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came to this by trial and error because there was like, where was I going to learn it? And a lot of people do. And you know what? You can do it by trial and error. There's no guarantee of success, and
right.
it's going to take a long time. But people often default to that because they figure, well, that way it's free. But here's the thing. It's not, right? Spending 5 or 10 years figuring something out, first of all, oh my God, opportunity cost, right? It's enormous. But even if you put that aside,
right.
you're buying an ebook here and a course there, and you're a member in this membership site over there, and you've got your AWeber subscription that's billing you monthly and your LeadPages subscription that's billing you monthly.
Mm-hmm.
That adds up to a lot of money over the course of 5 or 10 years.
Right.
Right. So it's important to emphasize that, yes, you know, people do figure this out, but it takes a long time and it's a very long and expensive road.
Well, like my personal trainer, I want speed to results,
mm-hmm.
speed to best outcome, the outcome that I want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, rather than let things collect dust or let the course collect dust, which I love the whole idea of having the coach there driving you forward, having a 60-day window, saying you're going to have these milestones completed in that 60 days and make, you know, earn a certain amount of income or greater.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. It's kind of setting everyone up for success. And so you have 8 case studies you're going to roll people through.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be grilling them. Are people going to be able to ask questions on the live stream during that as well?
I'll be honest, I've never done one of these before, so I don't know exactly what it's going to be like.
Are you doing this with UFAT, or who are you doing with this?
No, we're doing this we're just setting it up on GoToWebinar, because it's a system I know.
Okay, gotcha.
So we are, you know, I'll be grilling them. There will be questions that people can ask, so I mean, I'll see some of them, and I'll...
Right.
It's going to be a party. It's an 8-hour course-building party, basically.
It's a whole
telephone. Everyone's invited.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm going to be there, too, because I want to listen in on some of these case studies, and... nothing like going behind the scenes. It's sort of like a VH1 behind the scenes at at Course Builder Academy. So what else should people know about the program? Is it a certain number of weeks? How long is it? I know it's 60 days to success. Is the course 60
days? Well,
it's
60 days. No, it's 60. I'm really glad you asked. It's 60 days to the first milestone, which is the profitable launch of your pilot.
Okay.
This program, it's start to finish, how to go from wherever you are to a multiple 6 or 7-figure course empire, if that's your goal. If you want if you want, you know, $100,000 a year working part-time while you're traveling the world, you can make that happen too.
Right.
But we're with you all the steps of the way. The support of your coach
mm-hmm.
does not expire. It's not something that's there for 30 or 60 or 90 days and you're done. We're in your corner as long as you're building courses.
Wow. So there's you don't have to pay a continuity fee in order to get continued support?
Nope.
Okay.
We have an extra level of support that people can pay for, and a lot of people choose to, but mm-hmm. the coach that will answer your questions within 24 hours,
okay.
that's something that everybody has at no extra cost, and it doesn't expire ever.
Nice. Great. How did you, and these coaches are full-time staff on
mm-hmm.
your company? Okay.
Yep.
Great.
And they're all, so the coaches that we have on the team, they're all people who, they come from the community, they've been my students, I've hired and trained them personally, so they know this material inside and out, but they're coming with different life experiences and backgrounds of their own. So what we do is when someone signs up for our program, they do a welcome call with someone on my team, mm-hmm. gets to know them and their business, and says, well, if this is what you want to do and this is your background, I think this coach is really going to get you. I think this coach has subject matter expertise that can really help you.
That's a big deal, Danny, because you and I are in a I think we're going to be heading down to Austin. You are in a, you and I are in a mastermind together, so I know, you know, I've had a chance to meet you. I'm not just I just want people to know that I've gotten to know Danny, and I know the level of detail that he goes to, and how much energy he puts into and passion he puts into his work. Danny, people don't know this, but Danny had shared with me the way he hires people previously in this mastermind group, and I know the level, you know, the minutia you go to hire somebody, find the right person, put them through your process, make sure they're a good fit, train them. And, you know, so the fact that you're not using an outsourced coaching company that theoretically, quote unquote, is trained on your system and they might be selling them something else or what have you, that's a big deal. I mean, they're in-house staff, and they live, eat, and breathe what you're doing.
And there's something really cool that, I mean, this is just internal to the company, but it's, there's something really cool that happens when we hire a coach and we train them and they start working with students. And it happens around the 4 to 6 week mark where they've been with us.
Okay.
They stop talking about students. They start talking about their students. It's like a teacher in school is like, these are my students.
Right.
And there's just something really cool about that. Like people really feel ownership of the success of their students.
I just finished, as you probably know, the Health Profit Summit here in Boulder, and that's exactly the way I feel, is that the people, I mean, these people are my friends. I feel ownership in who they are and what their success. We all kind of came off the buzz of this, you know, this live event. But, you know, prior to this, we had, like I said, through trial and error, I've been putting together coaching and training, and it's been working well, but I know I can make it better by learning from you and what you've, you know, what you put together with the Course Builder, your Course Builder program. So, well, listen, I know we promised you got your baby waiting for you. We promised to keep this discussion short. But so what do you recommend the next steps be for folks that are listening in that might be interested in leveraging a course either as a standalone business or as a front end for maybe their health business?
Well, whenever somebody's considering something, there's three options, right? They could say, no, this isn't for me. And if someone's listening to this and thinking that, then, well, that's, you know, my answer is not relevant. They could say, yes, this is absolutely what I want. And then you've got, I guess, a link below this video or something that they can click. And, you know, there's a sales page and there's a button near the top. They could just click it and sign up. It's a long sales page. There's a lot of information there.
Is there a video and it explains?
There's a video. There's actually a couple of videos on the page.
Great.
It's we put a lot into, look at the page and you'll understand. We put a lot into everything we do.
Excellent.
And for everyone who's thinking maybe this could work for me, go to the page and read it. You know, watch the video, read the page, think about whether this is something you really want to do. I'm always careful not to say, you know, yeah, sign up, buy it, you know, maybe you'll use it, who cares? Like, it is a commitment. You are going to want to put in time and energy, you know, talk it over with your spouse or your business partner. Make sure it's a commitment that makes sense for you. But if it is, we'd love to work with you. And again, you know, 30-day test drive guarantee. So the risk here is non-existent. And if this is something that could help you create an outcome that would be valuable for you in your business, in your life, and create valuable outcomes for the people you're going to serve, then we'd love to work with you.
Fantastic. Well, Danny, I can't say enough. Thank you so much for taking this time. And also, like me, being a father, working from home, taking care of your family and running your business. I'm excited about this program, the Course Builders Laboratory. I love that name, by the way.
Thank you.
And I look forward to having you be my coach in this process, because I think people have heard me say ABL, always be learning. You know, and there's so many mentors out there for you to learn and grow from. So thank you for agreeing to be my mentor in this process as I grow and improve my business.
It is my honor. And thank you to everyone who's been watching this. And Buck, I'm going to see you like next weekend, right?
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Danny.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.